We're grateful, Father, for the chance we have to be here, and we thank you for testimonies of your grace, testimonies of your goodness, testimonies that verify the reality of your very being. We thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. We thank you, Lord, for peace. We thank you for restored health. And we pray that you would just continue to impress upon each of our hearts who you are, how powerful you are, how much you care for us. Having said all that, I pray that tonight we would be attentive to this matter of prayer and receiving answers. And I pray that you would have our attention, teach us your precious truth. We ask this in your name. Amen. Some time ago, as I was in my office and just reading different things in Scripture, a verse in Proverbs caught my attention, and at the time it prompted me to start giving some thought to it, and I started jotting down some different things, started looking in different directions. And you know, I've told you before that quite often something like this will happen. I'll jot it down and I'll just put that on what we often refer to as the back burner. And you know how that is when you're in the process of even preparing a meal. You perhaps can get some things together and you put them on a back burner and you turn it down low and just let things simmer for a while. And so that happened for a while, and I want us to just have a chance to take a look at that particular verse and some truth that God really just prompted me to consider in relation to it. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs 28:9. Proverbs 28:9. If you found it, you realize that this suggests to us that he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, that person's prayer, is going to be an abomination to the Lord. As I started thinking about this, I thought, boy, that is a pretty significant truth that Solomon has recorded for us here. Let's break it down. Let's put it on the plate a little bit more understandable. To me, what this is suggesting is that what Solomon is saying is this. God tells us that when a person will not listen to what God says in his word, God is not interested in listening to what that person has to say. Isn't that what that says? The one that turns away his ear from hearing the law, the word of God. That law, that's just another name for God's word. I don't have time for the Bible. I'm not interested in the Bible. I don't want to learn what the Bible has to say. God says, if that's your attitude, don't bother me with your prayers, because I don't want to listen to your prayer if you don't want to listen to my word. And I thought to myself, boy, you know, that's a pretty solemn statement here. Tonight we talked about answered prayer. Here we're talking about the scenario of, at least in some instances, here's why some people are not seeing answers to their prayers. Because God says, if you won't take time to hear what I have to say to you in my word, I don't want to hear what you have to say to me. Let's look at some other examples. And I give you this because, really, as I jotted this down and started thinking about it for some days, even 2-3 weeks, I would think about it, do some searching, and began to discover, you know what, this is not the only place in Scripture that we find this truth. In fact, we're going to find that there are numerous reasons why God does not answer prayer sometimes. Would you like to know what some of those reasons are? Would you like to know so that, since that's what it says in the Bible, I better make sure that that's not true of me? Having said that, let's turn to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. Let's look first here at verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th month, even those 70 years, did you at all fast unto me? 70 years, what's that? That's during the years of the Babylonian captivity. Did you fast unto me? Verse 7. Should you not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited and the south inhabited the south and the plain? But now let's drop down and look a little bit further. The Lord had asked a question of the people, and he said, all that time when you were fasting and praying, were you really doing that to me? And did you listen to the ones that I sent to you? Did you listen to those prophets even before the captivity came? Let's look at verse 11. But they refused to hearken, and they pulled away the shoulder, and they, here you go, they stopped their ears that they should not hear. This is actually recounting what had happened to God's people. God had sent prophets with his word. And what had God's people done? They had plugged their ears. We don't want to hear that. Don't talk to us about that. Verse 12, yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. The prophet now is saying, this is why the wrath was poured out. You wouldn't listen. This is why the 70 years of captivity. You stopped your ears. Verse 13. Therefore, it's come to pass that as he cried, he, God, cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, God's people, and what does it say? And I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, Proverbs 28:9 tells us, even his prayer shall be an abomination. This is serious business. This matter of closing my ears, closing my mind and my heart to what God wants to tell me in his word. If you want your prayers answered, here is a very important situation that has to be in place. Are you open-hearted? Are you interested in hearing and knowing what God wants for you? Oh, we are so quick to run to God and tell him what we want. But God has things he wants to tell us that he wants for us. Are we open to listen to God in his word? And the prophet Zechariah reminded God's people back there in Zechariah 7. The Lord tried. The Lord sent his prophets. You wanted nothing to do with it. So when you got your backs against the wall and you cried to the Lord, since you didn't want to listen to what he had to say, he didn't listen to your cries when you wanted to talk to him. There are some familiar references that we can look at in Scripture that we've all known, I think, a long time that, oh yeah, I remember. That's important. I want to look at some things that can really, this evening, inhibit, hinder answered prayer. Joel, you're writing a message title down? Here you go. Why won't he listen? Why won't he listen? We've already seen one reason why. We're going to give some other suggestions. This one, I think, is a very familiar one. Psalm 66:18. Psalm 66:18, the psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, here it is again, the Lord what? Will not hear me. I thought God's ears were always open unto the prayer of his people. Maybe you need to read the book a little bit more and discover that there are stipulations. There are times when God won't listen. And just as one of those times is, if I won't listen to him, if I'm not interested to look into his word and hear what he has to say to me, he's not interested in listening to me. Here's another one. The psalmist says, if I regard iniquity, and that word regard comes from a word, the base meaning of it is to see. To see. If I see there is sin in my heart, Well, yeah, I know it's there, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Don't waste your prayer. Because the psalmist says, if I regard it, I know it's there, but it's not that big of a deal to me. Nobody is perfect. I'm sure God is going to, God is interested. God cares for his own. God cares for his own. He never leaves nor forsakes. But does he always listen to what they say? Not if they won't listen to him, and not if they will not get serious about sin in their heart and life. That's what this verse says. If I know it's there, but you know what? I'll deal with it some other time. Meanwhile, dear Lord, I sure wish you don't meanwhile, dear Lord. This verse tells us you better deal with the most important issue first, and that is sin in one's heart. Proverbs 15, verse 5. Proverbs 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. God isn't always interested in what someone wants to do, what someone wants to bring him. The sacrifice, the offering of the wicked, it's an abomination to the Lord. The world is filled with religious but lost people. They go to church. They say their prayers. They give their money. They do this, they do that. Sadly, multitudes have never put their faith and trust in Christ. They think they are worshiping the Lord. They think he is pleased with their prayers, with their offering, with their church attendance. But if they have never received the Lord as their own personal Savior, they're still a wicked, lost person. So many times I am out and about and I'm talking with someone whom I know makes absolutely no claim to know the Lord whatsoever. During some of my time of recovery in these last 7 months and from the heart surgery that I had back in December, I would run across certain individuals, be talking with them, whether it was a neighbor or a delivery person or something like that, and begin to tell the story, oh, I'll pray for you. And I often thought to myself, you're wasting your breath because you've never given any indication that you truly know the Lord, that you're truly one of his own. You're wasting your breath. You can say your prayers, but God's not going to listen until one has accepted the Lord as their own personal Savior. You say, well, I thought God listened to all prayer. Well, I guess you're mistaken, aren't you? Are you saying that God won't listen to the prayer of the unsaved person, the wicked person, the lost? There is one prayer that God will listen to, and that is, God, be merciful to me, a lost sinner. He'll listen to that one, if it's truly coming from the heart. But if the person doesn't know the Lord as their own personal Savior, they may be saying their prayers, but their prayers are an abomination to the Lord. the sacrifice of the wicked, and oftentimes prayer is listed as a sacrifice. Isaiah 59. And let's look at verses 1 and 2. And here the prophet is, in a sense, kind of voicing the thoughts of the people of Israel. Listen to it as he says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Just suppose perhaps Isaiah has been talking to some of those people of Israel. What's wrong with God? How come he isn't listening to us? Can't he hear anymore? Doesn't he see what we are going through, the difficulties of this captivity? Where's God? And Isaiah is saying, there's nothing wrong with God's hand that he can't save. And he doesn't need a hearing aid. There's nothing wrong with his hearing that he can't hear when you pray. But your iniquities, your sins, have separated between you and your God. Let's reword that. Your iniquities have come between you and God, and they have caused a separation. And your sins have hid his face from you. Here we see it again, that he what? Will not hear. I thought God always listened to prayer. I guess you were wrong, weren't you? He will not listen to the prayer from one whose life is full of sin and wrong and iniquity, unless that prayer is a prayer of confession, remorse, and repentance. But so many times that's not the prayer that one whose heart is filled with sin, and just like with the nation of Israel, had they been praying, "Oh God, be merciful, God, forgive us, we are guilty, we have sinned," God would have listened to that, but that's not what they were praying. "Oh God, help us. Oh God, make these people be kind to us. Save us. Cause them to lift the load and make life easier." And God wasn't listening. And that's why the prophet said, there's nothing wrong with God's hand. He's just as able to answer prayer as ever he was. He's just as keen sense of hearing as ever. But that's not why you're not seeing answers to your prayer. It's because there's sin that's come between you and God. And until that sin is not properly dealt with, don't waste your breath praying, because he will not hear. We've seen some examples in the Old Testament. Let's look at some reasons elsewhere. Jeremiah chapter, one more Old Testament reference, and then we're going to turn to some New Testament references. Let's look at Jeremiah 14. We have just a few more references I want us to look at on this solemn topic that we are looking at this evening. Why won't God listen to me when I pray? There could be a good reason. And it could be we've already identified it. In Jeremiah 14, verse 10, Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Jeremiah, you stop asking me to bless my people Israel. Jeremiah, you stop asking me, God, be merciful to your people Israel, the descendants of Abraham. Now, God actually told Jeremiah the prophet, stop praying for them. Don't pray for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. Why? Because God says, my people have forsaken me. They haven't wanted me. And so when they go through their religious rituals, I'm not going to listen to them. I'm not going to be answering those prayers. They've forsaken me. And for a time, I'm going to forsake them. Well, let's turn to some New Testament examples and some New Testament reasons why won't he listen. There in the book of James, and maybe some of you have thought of this, I can think of some reasons in the New Testament. In James, for instance, James 1, 5, 6, and 7, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you lack something, verse 4, ask and you'll get it. Sorry, verse 5. But wait a minute. There's a stipulation attached. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering or doubting. For he that wavereth or doubts, oh, I don't know if God is going to answer this or not. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that's driven with the wind and tossed. It's often interesting to, I've had a lot of chance in 38 and a half years to be just putting my brain in neutral and stand at those glass doors and look out at that lake and just watch and not really thinking about anything in particular, but to watch that wind and the way it blows out there on that water. And some days it's so fascinating. 1 minute it's blowing the waves this way and then that way and another way. And that's exactly what James is describing here. If we're not asking in faith, it's like waves. They're just wind tossed. No real direction. Just matters which way the wind blows. And so he says, if you want God, if you want something from God, just ask, but ask in faith. Verse 7, let not that man, the one that is wavering, well, I'm not sure. I don't know if God's going to listen to me or not. Don't let that person think that he's going to receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Why won't God answer my prayer? Why won't God hear? Because maybe you're not asking in faith. He only responds to faith. Chapter 4 of James. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust, and you have not. You kill and you desire to have, and yet you just don't obtain, really. You fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. Oh, there's one reason. Why isn't God answering my prayer? Have you ever asked him? Here's what he's saying here in verse 2. You have not because you ask not. Are you sure you have genuinely asked in faith? Don't expect him to give if you haven't asked. And here's something else, verse 3. You ask here. Oh yeah, I prayed. But he said you receive it not. Well, here, because you ask amiss, that you might consume it in your own lusts, your own selfish desires. Your motive has not been right. Your motive has not been right. We know that whatever we ask in according to the Lord's will, he's going to hear it. And we're going to have that prayer. But here's the case of they've asked, but he said, God's not answering because you're asking it for selfish, prideful, foolish reasons. And God's not going to answer those prayers. Why won't he hear? Maybe there's a good reason. We close with a parable in Luke chapter 18. A parable. Yeah, that's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, isn't it? That was kind of the standard explanation of a parable when we went to Bible school. What's a parable? Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Well, this is a parable, which means that it's just a made-up story, but the principles are true. There's a heavenly meaning. Look at verse 9. He spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisees prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as, you can just see him nodding over here in the direction of this publican, or even as this publican over here, this lowlife worm that's standing next to me. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all, and then he gave this little repertoire of what a good, quote unquote, in this day and age was, what a good Christian I am. I fast, I give tithes of everything I own. And the publican, verse 13, standing afar off, would not so much as even lift up his eyes unto heaven. He wasn't full of pride. He smote his breast, ashamed to even lift his head. And what did he have? He just simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't have anything to boast about. I don't have anything to be proud about. And the Lord said, I tell you, this man, this second one, the one who came in humility, the one who came to the Lord in humility with the absence of pride, this one went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What's our heart attitude? Is it one of humility? Well, you know what, God? I deserve to be answered. I deserve. Lord, just remember, I read my Bible this morning before I went to work. I deserve to have that prayer answered. No, we come with a humble heart. No pride. Well, there's quite a list of things, aren't there, this evening? And there are more, trust me, that we could have looked at. I just selected these. Now, this is a pretty solemn topic, isn't it? Why won't he listen? Our text verse was, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law Even his prayer is an abomination to the Lord. I close with this question. Does God hear you? Let's stand and we'll be dismissed with prayer. Thank you, Father, for the truths that we've looked at this evening. Some kind of in the face, some pretty solemn, some perhaps even hit us between the eyes, and we perhaps at first think, I'm not sure I believe that. I'm not sure I agree with that, but Lord, remind us of the truth of your word. May we accept what your word teaches, not what man says. Lord, I pray that this matter about our prayer life, we would not be so careless and apathetic about it. Oh, we thank you that we can come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain grace and mercy to help in time of need, but we've learned tonight there are stipulations. May we truly do business, honest business with you. And for your glory, I pray that we might begin to see more prayers answered on the basis of us being willing to do some house cleaning where house cleaning is needed. In your name I pray, amen. And you may be dismissed.